Canto 10, chapter 85. Lord Krishna instructs Vasudeva. Text number 6. Narinam Vishvasitam.
Narinam Vishvasitam.
Saktayoya Parashyata. Paratam Triyalva Shadrisha. Vayas Chisvaiva Chistatam. Narinam Vishvasitam. Saktayoya Parashyata. Paratam Triyalva Shadrisha. Vyoshisvaiva Chistatam. Prana. Of the life air. Arinam. And so on. Vishva. Of the universe. Shujam. The creative factors. Saktaya. Potencies. Ya. Which. Parasya. Belonging to the Supreme. Ta. They. Parantra. Paratamsyat. Because of being independent. Vaishadrishat. Because of being different. Dvayo. Of both. Living and non-living manifestations in the material world. Chishta. The activity. Eva, merely, Chishtatam, of those entities, namely prana and so on, that are active. Translation. Whatever potencies the light, air, and other elements of universal creation exhibit, are actually all personal energies of the Supreme Lord. For both light and matter are subordinate to Him and dependent on Him, and also different from one another. Thus, everything active in the material world is set into motion by the Supreme Lord. Purport. Prana is the vital air of life, a more subtle element than the ordinary air we can touch. And because prana is so subtle, finer than the tangible manifestations of creation, it is sometimes considered the ultimate source of everything. But even subtle energies such as prana depend for their functional capacity on the supremely subtle Paramatma. That is the idea Vasudeva expresses here by the word paratantriyat, because of dependence. just as the velocity of an arrow is derived from the strength of the bowman who shoots it, so all subordinate energies depend on the power of the Supreme Lord. Furthermore, even when various subtle causes have been empowered with their capacity to act, they cannot act in concert without the super soul's coordinating direction, as Lord Brahma states in his description of creation in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yadaite Sinita Bhava Bhutendriya Manoganaha Yadaya Manam Yadamani Nasiko Brahma Vittama Tada Samhatta Samyanyam Bhagavat Shakti Choritaha Sar Asatvam Upadaya Chobayam Sashuju Yada. O Narada, best of the transcendentalists, The forms of the body cannot manifest as long as these created parts, namely the elements, senses, mind, and modes of nature, are not assembled. Thus, when all these become assembled by the force of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this universe certainly came into being by accepting both the primary and secondary causes of creation. So read the translation again. Whatever potencies the light, air, and other elements of universal creation exhibit are actually all personal energies of the Supreme Lord, for both life and matter are subordinate to Him and dependent on Him, and are also different from one another. Thus, everything active in the material world is set into motion by the Supreme Lord. So here, Vasudeva is offering prayers to Lord Krishna. And here he is describing previously he has described various elements of creation which are all dependent upon the Lord. And in this verse here, he is specifically pointing to the fact that without the presence of the Supreme Lord, the Super Soul, other factors cannot actually manifest the material world as we know it. Even though, so for instance, we understand that the within our body is the spirit soul, and because the spirit soul is situated within our body, this body functions. Without the life force, then the body is dead, of course, and the dead body doesn't do anything. It just drops, decays, and gradually disappears. So it is the presence of the spirit soul within the body that allows the material body to be active in so many different ways. Some people, of course, assume or speculate or think that the spirit souls are the cause of material creation, that they have the conception that because the spirit soul desired a particular type of existence, therefore the spirit soul took birth in a particular body and manifested a certain type of reality. So, you know, they're quite often, if you speak to people these days, it's a very common sort of understanding that they feel that they have, by their choice, they have taken birth in a particular body. So I have taken birth like this because I wanted to experience this type of life. And people say like that. They don't accept, or they don't understand, that without some coordination, how is it possible that we just have some desire and a whole, you know, reality manifests? But people actually think like that. So here Vasudeva is sort of pointing to the fact that yes, the spirit soul is the cause of their reality in one sense, but there is another factor beyond the spirit soul, which is actually giving the spirit soul his very qualities and also is coordinating the existences of all the other spirit souls. Otherwise, we may think, I have a particular desire, I will take birth in this particular body and I will experience this particular type of existence. But if we have a particular desire to to live in a certain way that may override someone else's desire. Right? In other words, we may decide that I shall take birth at a particular time and I will be the ruler of this particular kingdom. But there may be another 50 billion spirit souls who are thinking, I will take birth at that particular time and rule that particular kingdom. That will be my reality. So, but we see that there is a coordinated effort within the material world so that all living entities, their desires are fulfilled in a particular way, but at the same time, they're fulfilled in a particular way in which they're also responsible for their activities, and therefore they get what they desire, but they also get what they deserve. And all of this is coordinated so nicely that every particular living entity is getting exactly what they desire according to their deserve. It takes a lot of coordination, right? Just like in this temple, you know that you know, it takes coordination. Otherwise, you know, everyone, you know, people may be thinking, I have a particular desire that I will serve Krishna in this particular way. Someone else is thinking, no, and I should be serving in that particular way. Someone else is thinking, no, we should all be doing this way. So the result will be without coordination. You know, here we have, what, 30, 40, 50, you know, devotees, plus, you know, congregational members, so many thousands. But without some coordination, imagine what would happen. It would be chaotic. They try and expand that, that there are billions and billions of unlimited living entities. Their desires, their karma, all had to be coordinated. So Vasudeva is pointing that yes, we can say that in one sense the living entity is the cause of their reality because they have a particular desire, and because the spirit soul is in the body is manifesting. Yes, it is a cause, but there is another cause which is more important than that. The super soul is actually coordinating all those different spirit souls, and also is giving the very potencies within all elements of material and spiritual creation. So in other words, for instance, we may desire to build a house. We may desire to build a house of bricks, like the smart little piggy. But we have to have some bricks. We may have that desire, but in order to manifest it, we actually have to have some bricks. A brick has a certain quality. It is solid, movable, like that. If we try to build a solid house with marshmallows, we will get a different result. So a brick has a certain quality, and therefore we get the result. In the same way, the spirit soul has a particular desire to manifest a certain reality, but unless the ingredients to manifest that reality are there, it cannot manifest anything. And it is actually the Supreme Lord who supplies the ingredients and gives those ingredients their particular potencies. And then sets those, by his own energy, sets those potencies into action. Here the example is given of the archer. So someone may shoot an arrow, and if we shoot an arrow, that arrow has the ability or the potency or the potential to, you know, drive very hard and to pierce a target. But without the bow, it cannot do that. It needs the bow. You pull back the bow. Is that for me? What is that?
It's a present for you.
Thank you. Okay. Very nice. Shall we tell? They all like that room. So, the arrow, it has the ability, the potency, but without the bow, it doesn't have the power. So we can look at the bow and we can say that actually the bow infuses its power into the arrow so that it can drive that arrow into its target. But actually, if we look further, the bow also is deriving its power from another source, which is the archer. So do we say it is the arrow that has the power to penetrate the target, or do we say it is the bow that had the power to make the arrow penetrate the target, or do we say it is the archer that actually has the power to make that arrow penetrate the target? And of course,
I'll say archer.
The archer, that's right. But generally, thank you for that.
Who made the archer?
That's what Bhaktadeva is saying. So we don't stop there. Who made the archer? So in this way, Vasudeva is showing us that, you know, the various elements, living and non-living, within the material universe, they have the potency to manifest this material world, but they're not all in all, you know, behind them, giving them their potencies, their creative energies, and coordinating those creative energies is the Supreme Lord, the Super Soul, without which the mature manifestation doesn't take place. So that of course is the vision of one who sees things as they are by Krishna consciousness. The devotees, they try to understand Krishna, and by understanding Krishna, because Krishna is everything, Krishna is through his energies, he manifests everything within the material and spiritual world. So by understanding Krishna, automatically you get to know everything. The other way is to try and know each little thing bit by bit. That's what the speculators and materialists do, and the scientists. They take a little piece, let us try to understand, you know, carbon, and then we'll try and understand hydrogen, and then we'll try and understand oxygen, and then we'll try and understand the mixture of those, and oh, there's another, and then we'll try and understand this, and then we'll try and understand that, and they get another little piece, and another little piece, and gradually they work at it over centuries and centuries, and they end up with a big mess. They end up knowing, you know, practically nothing. What can they know about this, even this material universe? And they will admit, the more they find out, the more they look into the universe, or the material body, subtle or gross, and mind intelligence, the more they understand, there is so much to know. Now they are playing with DNA and so many things, and they have, you know, just DNA is such a vast subject that if you had a huge lake and that was compared to the knowledge of DNA, they have a drop of water from that lake. And they will admit that. They will admit that's all we know. We have one drop of water's worth of knowledge in this huge lake of knowledge of understanding DNA. And DNA, what is that? It is one tiny, tiny little portion of the material world. And they're going to just keep going. And so many, if they did that for millions and billions of years, they'd probably end up with a pailful of water in the lake of knowledge of what is material existence. Without even a speck of knowledge of what is spiritual, which is a vast, unlimited ocean. But the devotees, they work from the opposite direction, that by knowing Krishna, you actually automatically know everything. And as Prabhupada gives the example, that if you know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 and 0, you can understand mathematics. Because all of mathematics is based upon those numbers. There is nothing else. In the same way, you understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He manifests as the Supreme Lord, Mahavishnu, the Super Soul, to manifest this universe. He has his spiritual energies, which manifest the spiritual world. He has his marginal energy, which is the living entities. And he has his material energy, which consists of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and ego. These things, you understand those things, you can understand everything. Properly. Better, if you understand those things, you will understand everything better than the most educated scholars of this world who have no idea of Krishna. So, that is the devotee's perspective, is they learn by understanding Krishna. So, and therefore, a devotee, they are within that Krishna consciousness, they see Krishna within everything. Whatever happens, whatever potency, whatever manifestation there is, they understand that this is Krishna. If they see that, for instance, a cow, they see a cow. A cow can eat grass, which is growing everywhere, and that cow can eat that grass and turn that grass into milk, most valuable food. So there is a potency within that cow. That potency is Krishna has manifested that potency within the cow. Krishna gives the cow that ability. Just like the other day, I was standing with my father, and we were looking at the ants, and they started to scurry here and there. So I was saying to him that we might get a little bit of rain soon, and because you can see that from the ants when they start to run here and there, especially if they move their eggs around, and you see them gathering food, that there's going to be a little bit of rain. They sort of stay underground for a couple of days until the rain passes. If there's going to be a lot of rain, you'll see them digging their holes out, and as high as the mound comes, that much rain. If they dig their holes and you see a nice big mound around the anthole, there'll be a lot of rain. So I was asking my father, how do they know that? They don't have satellites, they don't have computers, supercomputers, they don't have a weatherman, they don't have, all these instruments, throughout the ocean or throughout the skies. They have nothing. Tiny little things, they can barely see, the next ant in front of them. And that little ant can tell exactly what the weather is with precision. How does that little ant know? What book has he read? What university has he been to? He cannot even see the sky. Cannot see, cannot understand clouds. There is a potency there. Where is that potency coming from? Krishna has given that potency. Otherwise, how do you explain? As I said to my father, how can you explain that? The people say instinct. You can say, you give some a word that doesn't explain it. You say, how does that ant know that? Oh, it's instinct. Well, where does instinct come from? Explain instinct. Oh, I don't know. I have no explanation. I can just give you the word, that's all. Instinct. There's no explanation. But we understand. What is instinct? That is a potency to understand given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in this way, the devotees see everything in relationship to Krishna, and by seeing everything in relationship to Krishna, everything is nicely understood. Everything becomes explained, everything becomes self-evident. The materialists, they have the ability to perform so many activities. They're building big skyscrapers, they're making, cars, aeroplanes, jets, computers, and this is all, quite wonderful in one sense to ordinary people. Where are they getting that potency? Of course, we say they will look. They look as far as their own brain. Oh, how is all this manifested? It has come from our intelligence. So that's as far as they will look. It's like looking at the arrow and perhaps looking as far as the bow. But then the question comes, but where did your brain come from? And where did the potency of the brain come from? So, actually when Srila Prabhupada was in Russia, he was speaking to one Professor Kotovsky. And Professor Kotovsky, of course, was considered to be one of the great scientists and one of the great thinkers of the world. But they can only see things materially. For them, for Professor Kotovsky, there is no spirit soul, there is no God. So they look at the cause of anything as far as some material cause. They cannot see beyond that. So it is a very, their intelligence goes to a certain degree and then it just stops dead. That is the materialist. Prabhupada gave an example that he said actually, because when in Russia, of course, people like Professor Kotovsky, they like to criticize the Hare Krishna movement as being, based on sentimentality, unscientific, and really has no validity. Like that. But actually, Srila Prabhupada said, actually, we have the same philosophy. And he said that you're accepting a leader. Even in communism, you're accepting a leader. You're accepting Lenin as your leader. So, we are not doing anything different. We are also accepting a leader. So how are we different? Only difference is that you're accepting Lenin as your leader and we're accepting Krishna as our leader. Our philosophy is the same. But if you have a leader such as Lenin, then you have a very limited leader. Because as we know throughout history, that Lenin was a very violent, murderous person. He murdered and had murdered hundreds of political rivals, thousands actually, what to speak of, you know, people in the general public. Anyone who was slightly against him, he would approach them and, you know, you take this poison and kill yourself, otherwise we'll have you killed. And so they would take poison. So, same philosophy that everyone in Russia, they're following, what are the thoughts of Lenin? He has his book, he has his manifesto, and what have you. We shall read this and we shall get knowledge, we shall have an understanding in this material world and how to live in this material world by following a leader known as Lenin. And in this way they can only see their intelligence, their understanding will stop at Lenin's understanding. At best. Whereas if we accept a leader who is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then your understanding, your intelligence doesn't stop there. You have the same perspective as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but according to your capacity. And therefore, you can see, you don't just, you know, look at the arrow and see that, you know, the cause of that arrow was the bow. You can look further. The cause of the bow was the archer. And as Mahatma pointed out, you can look further, and the cause of the archer was the Supreme Lord, the Super Soul, and the cause of the Super Soul is Krishna. And the cause of Krishna is Krishna. And Krishna, Sarva Kadana Kadana, Krishna is the cause of all causes. So therefore, the materialists, they have their ability to perform different activities, but most of that is they have the potency to do things really as a result of their sinful activities and as a result of their lack of surrender to Krishna. And because of that, their destination really, their potency is to become a dog. To become a dog, to become a mouse. The other day I was putting some paper in a mouse in a bin, not in a mouse, in a bin. And as soon as I, you know, put the paper in the bin, I noticed a little mouse come scurrying around. And, you know, I was meditating, you know, that his whole consciousness, what did that living entity do? You know, that living entity is just like me, but now his existence is scurrying around this bin, looking for some, you know, nice rubbish to eat. What did that living entity do that he became a mouse like that? The other yesterday I was working on my block of land up in Winchelsea, and there's a very old magpie there. And when I work outside, he follows me everywhere because he knows I, you know, in the course of my working, I turn up the snails and, you know, the little grubs and what have you, and then, you know, he'll sort of come and eat them. So anyway, he sat on the fence right next to me. I was moving some wood, and he was singing his little heart out. I've never heard him sing like that. He just didn't stop singing. You know how they warble. And actually, when I lived in New Zealand for 10 years, it's funny the things you become attached to in the material world. There were two things I really missed: the sound of magpies and gum trees. Anyway, so this magpie, he was sitting on the fence, And he was singing, you know, for about 5-10 minutes, and he didn't stop. And I thought, he knows something. He's waiting for something, and he's telling me, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, Ganga. There's a little treat for me here somewhere. So I'm moving this wood. And sure enough, you know, like way down in the wood, there was this frog. And as soon as I moved that piece of wood, this magpie came like that, and off he went. I don't know how he knew it was there, but he just sang his little heart out, you know, keep moving that wood, baby. Keep moving that wood. I'm going to get that wood. And he, you know, he had that frog. So, but, you know, what did that living entity do to become the frog or to become the magpie? That is really, you know, it all looks wonderful. We see the planes flying around and the trucks are getting bigger and the freeways are getting bigger. But really, you know, the end result is they become dogs, cockroaches, you know, frogs, grubs, snails. It's really not so wonderful. Now, on the other hand, you see the devotees of the Lord, what is their result? You know, they are, you know, not, you know, scurrying around rubbish bins. They're in the temples of the Lord, you know, the beautiful deities. You know, every day we get to see these beautiful deities, and we see the nice devotees, and we sing, we have nice kirtan this morning. You know, so that is the special favour of the Lord. So the Lord is giving everyone and everything its potency and its ability. For us to have the ability to come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam is a special, special empowerment by the Lord, a special mercy. Actually, only those who are especially favoured, there are different verses throughout the Shastra, only those who are especially favoured by the Lord have that ability to hear about Krishna, and even more to understand what they're hearing about Krishna. And if they hear properly, then after some time they also are able to do kirtan nicely, to speak, to glorify, to sing, to chant, to describe, or to write transcendental liturgies. So that's a real special empowerment or shakti. Without Krishna's mercy, it is not possible. Everyone in this room now, you know, right down to the little children. You are, yes. So, so all the children who are listening, and the adults, that is the Krishna's mercy has allowed them to do it. Without Krishna's mercy, we could not be here doing what we're doing. That is a special, special mercy. And that is more wonderful than what we see the greatest achievements of the materialists who end up with some terrible birth as a result of their activities. But the devotees, they have this wonderful life of Krishna consciousness, and in the end, just by understanding Krishna, they're eligible to go back to the spiritual world. So, anything that someone is able to do in Krishna consciousness, that is the special mercy of Krishna, and we should always remember that. And appreciate that very, very rare opportunity. Actually, Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that out of many, many thousands, millions, actually, of men, of humans, hardly one will endeavour for perfection. In other words, and we see that in this world, there are millions and millions of people, but for those who are actually trying to understand their spiritual nature very, very few. Some are certainly taking, you know, making some attempt, but, you know, amongst, you know, thousands and even millions who are following some ritualistic, you know, show bottle lip service to some religious process. Amongst millions of those, there may be some who actually want to know their spiritual nature. And amongst those who, thousands of those who are endeavouring, hardly one actually achieves that perfection of understanding, yes, I am the spirit soul. And amongst those, we see that those who understand that they are spirit soul, hardly anyone knows that the very nature of the spirit soul, that they are eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is extremely rare, very, very rare, even among demigods, actually, to be Krishna conscious. So, but, you know, it is not a cheap thing, so we may question, then how is it, especially I ask myself every day, how is it that I'm sitting here, hearing, sometimes chanting, amongst, you know, so many saintly devotees, and we have to understand that is the special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. That by their mercy, what is practically extremely rare, very difficult, something achieved after millions of births, not just years, but births in the material world, very rare, how is it that someone as unqualified as myself am able to do that? We understand that is a special, special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnanimous, the most glorious incarnation, manifestation of Krishna. He is Krishna himself, and he has given us the opportunity to understand him through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is very, very powerful. Sometimes devotees, you know, they think, oh, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot's happening. And they fail to realise that out of millions and millions of births, you're at this point where you have some Krishna consciousness. Such a rare opportunity. You're becoming eligible to go back to the spiritual world, and the child chanting Hare Krishna, nothing seems to be happening. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he's giving this Krishna consciousness. But we should be very careful not to take it cheaply. Just because he is giving it cheaply, and just because he is giving it freely to anyone without discrimination, we should be careful not to become, as I say, familiarity breeds contempt. Right? Oh, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, not such a big thing, yeah. Being a devotee, yeah. It's actually extremely rare and very, very wonderful. What to speak of, you know, those great Vaishnavas who are empowered by the Lord to perform exceptional activities of devotional service such as Srila Prabhupada, we can only imagine. We can't imagine. We can't understand how dear, you know, how much empowered someone is, such as Srila Prabhupada, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. To speak Krishna consciousness in such a way that he can travel, you know, to any country in the world, to people who have no sense of Krishna consciousness, practically absorbed in animalistic life, almost, on their way to becoming animals again. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, presents Krishna consciousness in such a way that he is so empowered that they can understand, they're attracted. That is the extreme mercy of the pure devotee who is empowered by Krishna. Just like today is the disappearance day of Śrīla Vṛndāvana Dasa Thakura, who is, and all those who actually come in the line and write transcendental literatures, such as Śrīla Prabhupāda, they are considered to be representatives of Vyasa. Without the mercy of Vyasadeva, who of course is an incarnation of the Lord, one cannot write transcendental literatures. Anyone who is writing some transcendental literature, it is understood immediately they have some blessing, some mercy, some shakti bestowed upon them by Śrīla Vyasadeva, otherwise it is not possible. So we can see that full mercy of Śrīla Vyasadeva is present within Śrīla Prabhupāda. Śrīla Vṛndāvana Dasa Thakura, he is considered to be the original Vyas in the past times of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he is considered the original representative of Vyasadeva in writing the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. He wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he also wrote the Nityananda Charita, I think it's called, which is the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. And Vṛndāvana Dasa Thakura, of course, we can see how the Lord arranges so many circumstances to empower a devotee to perform their particular service. And just like we see in the life of Śrīla Prabhupāda, that, you know, the first book is called A Lifetime in Preparation. We see how Krishna made every arrangement from taking birth, you know, with such a wonderful Vaishnava father and mother, you know, to meeting Śrīla Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, taking initiation. You know, so many different circumstances of his life enabled him to, you know, travel and preach Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Similarly with Vṛndāvana Dasa Thakura, he was the son of Narayana. as we know in the Panchatattva, picture of the Panchatattva. In the Panchrivas Thakur, his elder brother had a daughter, and that was Narayani. And Narayani's son was Vṛndāvana Dasa Thakura. Vṛndāvana Dasa Thakura, when he was still within the womb, his father passed away. And so Narayani went to stay in the house of Shiva's Pandit with his wife Malini. Malini is actually an incarnation of Ambika, who was Krishna's nurse in the spiritual world. And her sister is Kalimbika, who took birth as Narayani. And Vṛndāvana Dasa Thakura is considered to be a combined incarnation of Śrīla Vyasadeva and Kushina Pida, who is a cowherd boy and dear friend of Balaram. So when Vṛndāvana Dasa Thakura, he went to, after when he was about 5 years old, then he was instructed by Vasudeva Datta, who is another extremely dear devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. So he was personally instructed by one of their confidential associates, who was also an identity from the spiritual world. And then later on he went to live in another village where he personally met Lord Nityananda. And when they met each other, then in a very friendly way they began to sing and dance in ecstasy together, and then they sat down to take some prasadam, and Vṛndāvana Dasa Thakura offered him some of haritaki, some mouth freshener, I guess. And so Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he said to Vṛndāvana Dasa Thakura, that I would like you to stay here with me, and we'll glorify the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you know, you can also write some transcendental literature. And so he stayed there, and he actually wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now the Chaitanya Bhagavat describes the glories, the pastimes, and the nature of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, Vrindavan Das Thakur, even though he was empowered by the Lord, the seminal brahmanas, those who were brahmanas by birth and who thought that Brahmanism was their monopoly, that you cannot become a Brahman unless you take birth in a Brahman family. That was the seminal Brahmanas. So they were extremely slanderous against Vrindavan Das Thakur, even though his father was Brahman. And they were actually envious of Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda, you know, he is in the same mood as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that they are allowing people to be qualified as Brahmanas by training and by initiation by the bona fide spiritual master. So the seminal Brahmanas have become very slanderous and very much against Vrindavan Das Thakur, and they completely sort of ostracized him from their community and rejected him. But even though he still managed to compile this Chaitanya Bhagavat, even though he really had no assistance from the community at large. But he was empowered to write these wonderful pastimes. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur describes and differentiates the opulence of the Lord. He described how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached about the opulence of the Lord, Aishwarya, and also preached about the sweetness, the sweet pastimes of the Lord, Madhurya. And he manifested, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested Audarya, or magnanimity, magnanimous pastimes. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna combined, we do not find the conjugal pastimes of Radha Krishna in his activities. If someone, sometimes there are some who do not know the pastimes, that they claim to be devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and they imagine some, you know, conjugal relationship there within the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Something similar to Radha Krishna and the Gopis, but it's actually not there. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was married with Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya, but there, his dealings with his conjugal dealings with his wives were very, very much in awe and reverence. He never ever joked. I think once, there's some comment that he joked with one of his wives. He was very, very. They enjoyed, they just discussed with each other and enjoyed intimate relationship. It was very confidential, and it was very, very. It was not like the activities of the gopis. But Vrindavan Das Thakur, he describes, that Lord Chaitanya preached about the opulence of the Lord, just like Bhaktadeva, he is describing the opulence of God. And Vrindavan Das Thakur also described how Lord Chaitanya preached about the sweet pastimes found in Vrindavan. And he declared that attachment to Krishna or to God in spontaneous love is far superior than attachment in awe and reverence. So all these things are described, very, very confidential, You see, everyone sitting there, oh, what's he talking about? What's going on here? And, you know, it's a little bit more deeper philosophy than you're not the body. It's actually very, very elevated philosophy there in Chaitanya Bhagavata. So he was empowered, you know, to just describe this most essential information while describing the pastimes of the Lord. because the here we see with Vasudeva, he Vrindavan Das Thakur, he very strongly quoted the Srimad Bhagavatam in order to explain all these different features. Just like here, now Vasudeva, his son is Krishna, and Nanda also, he said Krishna as his son. But with Nanda Maharaj, there is that attachment to God without any concept of awe and reverence, and therefore his love is full blown. Whereas with Vasudeva, sometimes the concept of awe and reverence creeps in and inhibits his ability to love Krishna fully. Just like after when Krishna had killed Kamsa, then Krishna went to see Vasudeva and he offered his obeisances to his father, Vasudeva. And Vasudeva, instead of, oh, my son, who I haven't seen for so many years, let me, you know, embrace you and cuddle you and put you on my lap, he was fearful. Oh, I understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You've killed Kamsa, you've killed so many demons. I've heard from so many different sages that you are the, you have appeared as my son, but you are also the Supreme Person. So he wouldn't cuddle him. Now Krishna wasn't very happy with that. He would prefer Vasudeva. He's my father. Give me the cuddle. Where's the hug? And the same here, we see in this pastime that Vasudeva has again come to see his son to show his love and affection. But he's heard all these in the previous chapter, we, you know, all these saintly personalities, they have glorified Krishna, oh, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Vasudeva has heard that. And now he's, oh, yes, you are the Supreme. He's offering all these prayers. You see these prayers in awe and reverence. And Krishna is thinking, oh, no, I've already had to fix this problem once. No, I'm going to have to fix it again. Here's Vasudeva. You know, he's offering all these prayers. Is he going to help me? What's going to happen here? So you see, as is described in the summary, that later in this chapter, Krishna has to rectify this situation. So, but the therefore the love of the Vrajavasis, it is so intimate. There is no, it is not inhibited, crippled, or restricted by the concept of awe and reverence. Of course, the love of Vasudeva is almost on the Vrindavan platform, and it is extremely elevated. Extremely elevated. More elevated than the relationships which are had in Vaikuntha, which are full awe and reverence, whereas Vasudeva, there is awe and reverence to the Supreme Personality of Godhead mixed with intimate love. But on the Braja platform, there is no awe and reverence at all. It's just pure, unadulterated love. So all these things are described by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur and the Chaitanya Bhagavats, based upon, you know, these stories that we are reading here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we read them and sometimes we miss a lot. But once we've read the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you should read Chaitanya Charitamrita and you should read Chaitanya Bhagavat by these great powerful devotees, and they will take the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam and put it in such a way that you understand what happened, you know, in the essential information, so that you can also aspire to love Krishna in this mood of spontaneous love as exhibited by the Vrajavasis, and that's what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is enticing us to do. And we can do that such elevated, go to the topmost, you know, platform within the spiritual world just by chanting Hare Krishna. And that We say, you know, we're talking about there's a potency within the ant, there's a potency within the, you know, the magpie, there's a potency within the cow, there's a potency within the jiva. But Krishna says, all of my potencies, nam namakari vahudda nidhisarva saktis, all of my potencies I have, you know, fully manifest in my holy name. And that's why we are able to, you know, attain this, you know, transcendental goal of Krishna consciousness, especially in my case, even though being totally unqualified. So we thank Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, we thank Srila Prabhupada, we thank all the devotees, and they have the potency within them to help us to become Krishna conscious and to help us to chant Hare Krishna. So we offer our obeisances to them, and we offer our obeisances to the Holy Name. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, if you have any quick questions or comments?
By knowing Krishna,
because Krishna is everything. In the same way, give an example. Srila Prabhupada describes that if you know the sunshine, for instance, sunshine is now in this room, that doesn't necessarily mean you understand the sun. Nor does it necessarily mean you understand the sun god. But if you understand the sun god, you do understand the sun and the sunshine. So in the same way, if you understand Krishna, then you automatically know everything subordinate to Krishna. But if you know something inferior, you don't automatically know everything superior to that. Knowing Krishna, there is nothing more to be known. Any other questions? No, I always...